I was preparing my introduction for Sam, and I found my last introduction for Sam, and I'm not going to lie, I like it a lot more. So I'm going to read this one. I was about 20 years old, sitting in the Greenhouse Cafe in Harvard Square with my future husband, James, and my sister's infant son. My sister was taking an exam at Lesley. I was reading Sam Cornish's book, 1935. I looked up and saw, sitting across the room, Cornel West. I brought the baby and the book over to him. I asked him if he knew Sam's work. He didn't. I gave him the book and left him to his meal. About 20 minutes later, having read a fair amount, Cornel West came to my table and handed me some money to buy myself another copy, because it mattered. Sam Cornish matters. I was a student of Sam's at Emerson College in the middle of the 90s. His classes were as broad and as full as his poetry. In our African-American literature class, we read not only Invisible Man and Native Son, but we read contemporary novels of black socialites in the comfortable suburbs. In a multicultural literature class, we dealt not only with race and ethnicity, but class and gender, sexuality and regionalism. I don't know if Sam's teaching or his writing had a bigger impact on me. I don't know that I can even make that distinction. There is in both such a sense of respect and dignity of his subjects. Sam takes people from his life, from history, and writes about them without restraint. The ugliness and the beauty of our history and ourselves is laid out flat. Poems of Fannie Lou Hamer and Emmett Till, alongside poems about his uncles and Little Mary, horse-faced to some, neither handled with excess glory nor excessive sentimentality. Sam sees the dignity in the everydayness of living. He writes about work and poverty without pity or condescension. He uses the words we use when we speak to each other, our language without any errors, our language like it needs no corrections. As a writer, Sam lets me speak in my own words about my own life, like the work of doing dishes and raising children is as worthy as of poetry as any high ideal.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay.
Just flipping through, I found one poem that I really wanted to read, having done my own work now, sort of exploring Charles Olson as a woman. And I found this poem, "We Have Never Been Kind to Women." We have never been kind to women, have left our cereal bowls and shirts, walked out of the house and mornings, leaving only what we cared to give. Quickly at nights, we have never been men for women, have been men for each other. Words about sports or mountains to climb, even claimed beer for us and our sons. Mm. So, with that, yeah. Sam Cornish.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Amanda. Now I have my eyes a little teary. That's the beer. I'm a very sentimental guy, let's face it. I like Tchaikovsky. And Sibelius. Give me a violin and a bottle of bourbon, and you got me.
You're a happy man.
Yes. I had planned a different program. I was putting together a manuscript based on the work of the last 30, 40 years, and I wanted to do, as I have in the past, something which presents the American experience in different voices as reflected through personal reminiscence, encounters with friends, but most of all, seeing history reflected through the eyes of actual events that we experience secondhand through the cinema and popular culture. Because sometimes within our myths, within our popular culture, our rap songs, although I prefer an orchestra, we find the truth we do not experience in our mainstream culture. Now, what I'm going to do is not give the smooth performance I intended, but shuffle through papers and find things which I think connect. Okay, now the first piece, oh, by the way, I will be using the word nigger frequently, or maybe not. But, however, some words, if they are not socially acceptable and can do a great deal of harm, speak to the truth that is part of our history and therefore must be used. And also, I lived in a time in which the word was frequently used, both by whites, by blacks, and they had different meanings depending on how you used it. Now, this first piece is about me. Like most young men, I was not the wonderful person, the handsome man you see right now. And this poem is about that. You in the classroom, in front of the blackboard, standing in the schoolyard by the dumpster at lunch time, afraid to eat in front of the boys with the trays and tomatoes, the girls he does not understand because they are girls and he is a boy with nigger lips, football length head, hair down his back, thick, curly name Naps, and he is the great writer of generations that never wrote a book. See, people just don't know what they're messing with. Now, this is about John Henry, probably know who John Henry is, a kind of black Superman, the classic worker. John Henry, born big, black, baby, stars fell, the sun up early over sharecropper shacks, black child in a world of misery, the stars shining no more. In the morning, John Henry, before the sun's up, stood. Good morning, moon, said John, washing his hands, getting ready for work. Just getting up, John Henry, mama's big boy. Of course, John Henry, like most boys, do what mama says. I don't be sure we remember that. Before he had his vittles, John Henry always washed his hands. Now, this is a new piece. It's about 10 years old. Langston Hughes, in the 30s, would travel through the South reading poems. And I just tried to imagine what it'd be like to be with Langston or Langston traveling through the South in a beat-up car with your fried chicken in a bag. Maybe some refreshment. Bard, you heard of the brown bomber. Now listen to Harlem's brown bard. He's like John Henry with a hammer. Makes the rock cry out to Negroes of row houses and Burma Row and Langston's rivers, clear Mississippi flood, dark as a million of us. Langston, poet of the pick and wire comb and stocking cap and straight back good ebony invisible low class hair, naps that curl so beautiful, almost like the souls of his people. They belong to the Negro people. Folk poet of the white rose of Baltimore's marble steps and painted green door, Negro park benches, old men selling roasted peanuts in a bag. Listen to Sunday's drum and parade. Walk with Jesus, it will belong to you. Langston of the Negro River, Langston poet of Newsboys, band poems about Southern black and church people like you, and the millions like me, rent parties, Tom McCann shoes. There you are in your pen and typewriter, marching across the page, because you made a poem of us, you, Negro poet of Wheatley, Dunbar. The South was home, and I was a Negro poet. Read my poetry, the poems of my brothers, sisters. Some of us could not read the poems of our people, sorrow songs and dust songs and blues of northern downtown Harlem nights, street men, rent parties, piano hollering, bebop, jelly roll, to run you down, turn you around, jazz, blue notes. I was cooking for the hungry, the run dog, the run down, croppers, pickers, ex-row gangs, joint or bar rooms, home places of the poor, at Howard, Piss, Morehouse, Tuskegee, Morgan, those Negro colleges, teaching the questionable Booker T. Do not be afraid or ashamed of working with your hands. Okay. Now there's more space, I would jump around with yourself.
I'll move my feet. Uh-huh. Oh, that's right.
Okay, I don't know if anybody remembers Mel Torme.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. The Velvet Fog.
Yes. Now you youngins back there. Velvet was cool. He wasn't pretty, but his voice made him. Oh. Okay. Says the drummer, the horn is the left bank. The music jumping over heads, and April in Paris is a pretty Mel Torme. Smooth and crooning a foggy day, and there is nothing, a tune from memory of an old record. You may talk about the blues, and this is jazz, because hearing it ain't the same as playing it live, says the beats, says the drummer. I just stepped over a misery one. Now, no one's ever accused James Cagney of being black. Now, for those who have never heard of James Cagney, and some of you ain't, there's a ton of classic movies. James Cagney was about so high. And he played gangsters and George M. Cohan, the singer, the dancer. He did just about everything. But my favorite, James Cagney, he is Mr. Show Business, a real live Uncle Sam. James Cagney in Yankee Doodle Dandy. He's a wide-legged, toe-tapping, upright, sometimes blackface, sometimes dancing fool, high-stepping jig, bringing on the red, white, and blue. Broadway, this is war, and I am a Yankee do or die. Mr. President, Mrs. Roosevelt, 42nd Street, Tin Pan Alley, for you, FDR and Eleanor, we are going over, we're going over, and only, I have to do that again. See, I wanted to sing it, but I just don't have a voice. James Cagney is Yankee Doodle Dandy. He is a wide-legged, toe-tapping, upright, sometimes black-faced, sometimes dancing fool, high stepping jig, bringing on the red, white, and blue. Broadway, this is war, and I am a Yankee do and die. Mr. President, Mrs. Roosevelt, 42nd Street, Tin Pan Alley, for you, FDR and Eleanor, we're going over, we're going over, we're going over, and we ain't coming back till it's over over there. Thank you, young folks in the front. And what's the matter with you in the back? takes a lot of guts for me to sing. Okay, I'm going to... Amanda, will you hand me one of my books, please?
What would you like, Sam?
Let me try Apron Full of Beans.
I happen to have brought just about all of your books.
Yes. God love you. That's a great cover, by the way.
Oh, an apron full of beans.
My wife and I had such a time getting this done. I'm a lousy copy editor. To me, the words misspelled, I just go right on. There's a typo, I just go right on. Sometime I go back and I catch it. I'm getting better at it. But my wife, she'll catch it every time. So when we're editing the book, the publisher called Long Distance. In those days, you had to pay. And my wife just read them the riot act for every typo in the book.
Oh.
And she went so far as to have them say, maybe we shouldn't do it.
Oh.
Anyway, I just thought that was very interesting. Okay, by the way, this is sort of to me an open reading. If you want to raise a question or say something, feel free. Now, this has fine print, so we'll take off the glasses and go deep into the page. The river just keeps on going. Huck Finn, redhead Huck Finn, with the devil in him, white boy with a fishing pole, and a nigger friend named Jim. Good friend, although a nigger, thinks Huck. But Huck's a boy, Jim's a man. Huck smokes a pipe, skips school, and loves the dripping river. Going places, other towns, the Mississippi is the river of Huck and Jim. Friends on the water. Huck is Mr. and Jim is nigger. Looking for the north. It is the end of the river, says Huck. But Jim knows the river just keeps on going. Okay, the next one is called Colored Boys. I wanted to do something for my wife to put music to. She never did. But nevertheless, I did it. And it's sort of what you call a shout. But it ends with a nod to Richard Wright, the author of Black Boy, Native Son. Deep chocolate. Colored boys, sounding like the sweetest chocolate. Colored boys, long-legged colored boys, brown-skinned boys, no good, ever-loving, bow-legged. Colored boys, homeboys, smelling soul food, jailbirds, mama's boys, with bad and greasy mops, swaying to a little bebop. Black boys riding, black boys, southern black boys, shining like fine Sunday shoes. Oh, to the younger folks here, I just want you to know that you cheated the older people here out of a lot of fine cussing. I just want you to know that I had to change a lot.
No, the kids are good with swears. They can handle it. The kids are fine with swears.
Not in front of your new principal.
Okay. One of those boys is named after you, Sam, so I think you can handle it.
Yeah, and fine boy he is. Birmingham, 1968. They were just four little girls in a church, not old enough to know the Lord forgave them for being born. Four little girls, ribbons in their greased tight hair. Okay. Death of Dr. King. We sat outside the bars, the dime stores. Everything is closed today. We are mourning. Our hands are full with bricks. A brother died today. My eyes are wet. Water is in my hands. This is grief. Okay, this is called Hiroshima, My Love. Or is it Hiroshima, My Love? Take your pick. When the art film began, that's European films coming to America, and they call them art films. One of the most poetic and interesting was a French film called Hiroshima, My Love. And in the opening of the film, you're not too sure what you're seeing. Is it a landscape? Is it a desert? You don't know. And as the camera pulls away, it's the back, and their hands on the back, and two people are speaking. One is Japanese, and the other is French. They are a landscape in dust, a sweat moving. He is Hiroshima, black rain. They are lovers, a city, a sun, this fire. I was there, he said. No, she replies. Her arms tighten. He slips in them. She is Paris. He is Hiroshima. He is a city. She is a woman. I saw the sun turn to ash that fell. And the children, my Hiroshima. Guess I need a cigarette. Okay. Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm interested in the title, An Apron Full of Beans.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It intrigues me.
Okay.
Although I'm imagining it.
Yes. I have these memories of my grandmother, breaking beans, and, they're dropping in her apron. Mm-hmm. She's sort of sitting like this.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, your apron full of beans, and Whitman has his grass. You know, it's amazing when you're writing, everyone does it differently. For example, the point about the four little girls, there's a line in there before the about the original sin. That sometimes different things come to you as you write the poem. It's a way of dealing with a number of different subjects, commenting on them without being critical. I, of course, have a problem with the idea of original sin. There's the whole thing here about innocence, the church, and this act of violence that took place during the civil rights period. The other examples of that throughout my poems, little things are slipped in. with have alternate or contrary meanings. And anyway, and that's where the apron full of beans came into it as well. Part memory, part Whitman, part me.
Thank you.
Okay. Breath is all. Reading time. I have a lot of Billie Holiday poems, and this is one of them. Lady Day. Black don't crack, but Billie did. Lady Day. Big woman, all that misery is a song. The band helps out a little, but them that's got, the Bible says, is them that has. Billie is on her own. Some other girls stole her tunes. Sounding like Billie takes the money out of her pocketbook. Black don't crack, just gets hungry. Fades like Billie did. I'm open to jokes and questions. Okay, everyone has heard about Robert Johnson, right? For those of you who do not, Robert Johnson was a terrible singer. He was so bad that the guitar apologized. But Johnson was ambitious, and they told him about the devil. And he went to the crossroads, and the devil says, "Sign right here. Make your mark."
Who's been driving my terraplane? Do you know that one?
I'm afraid I don't, but I'm going to give you a minute to say it.
Well, it's he got out of prison. He was looking to get back together with his wife, and he looked at this old car made by the Hudson, and he said, "Somebody's been playing with the spark plugs while I've been gone." And it goes on and on and on like that, sort of regret for the time lost. And and whoever it was that was enjoying the use of his terraplane.
Now, you've got a great voice for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I'm about as old as you, but not quite.
Yeah. Combination of you and the wine. Okay. Man with a devil on his tail. Red bones in town. Tall, lanky, red bone, guitar and blues, man. Devil's not far behind when red bone hits town. Five-string guitar, fingers licking up some blues. Here's a man gone wrong. Red bone brings on Saturday night. Throw some coins in his hat. He'll give a tune. Do it now. Not much time for red bone. Devil's not far behind. Never look back unless you want to see the fire on your tail, says Redbone. Guitar man, long man, blues man, apricot or paperback brown. That's my man, Mr. Bones, giving us a tune for a nickel, a dime. A glass of lemonade for a man with a devil on his tail. Mr. Wellman.
Yes, sir.
Do you look back?
I remember in the chorus of "Who's been driving my terraplane since I've been gone?" And then there's the lyrics of "On my knees down at the crossroad," but I don't have them as full.
Well, you're talking about yourself, Mr. Wellman.
Just my memories, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Wellman.
Well, I go in circles.
So do I.
When did you write that book?
When did you write
that,
those poems?
Oh, let me sit back here.
Did you write them while the events were happening, or were you thinking about them?
Well, the four girls, yes, then. A red bone, no. The death of Dr. King, yes. Yeah. It's sort of funny. It's was written that much. It's amazing how things you write a long time ago reappear in the strangest places.
I wanted to ask you, mm-hmm. when you were a young man, and say in your 20s, what did you dream of being?
Well, let me see. Policeman. Movie maker. And novelist, and then finally I heard the calling. Poetry. And I think the weird thing about it is I guess there are such things as gifts. Now, I might not be the best. Not bad, but, you know. But somehow, when I begin to write, I usually read a lot. I read, sometimes for years. But gradually, the voice that is in the poem comes to you. And sometimes it comes to you, you know, complete. And that's happened on a number of occasions. But that doesn't mean you don't have to rework it. But the poem grows out of experience, history, chance encounters. And the King piece did that. Okay. The sounds southern rivers make. In the south, the river makes a sound almost like singing. It is the dead in the Mississippi. The Negroes that sing of him. This is my home, where I was born and will die. The river is the name of a place. It is the state where Medgar Evers died. He was a civil rights leader. For those who. Okay, I'll take a cab to work. I have a lot of money. Doesn't show, but I'm filthy. It's all arranged, but anyway. We have a number of pieces here. I don't have time to get to all of them, or to any of them. But I'm very interested in working men, men in particular who are doing the jobs that some people say don't exist anymore. And my friend every morning, 2.5 days a week, when he picks me up, has the racing forms with him, and he talks about horses. That's all. There's horses all the way. Now the title comes from a book by Alfred Kazin. I think it's called When Writing Was Everything. That's how one thing fits into the other. And this is my Alfred Kazin is a wonderful critic and one of the people that influenced me when I was coming along. And here we go into the white Jewish relationship thing. Kazin did a wonderful book called New York Jew, Growing Up, and Being an Intellectual. And I just love stuff like that, you know. Anyway, when talk is everything, he's sipping his cold morning coffee, thick and black, in a Dunkin' Donuts cup. He's talking to the city. It's the night when he's making money, working like a sugar time woman. His mouth like the meter is running. The back seat listens. The tips are good, and talking is everything. Okay, Palm Sunday. Easter parade on the avenue. This is one of the kid things. Before Sunday school, new suit. The pretty girls smiled on Friday. Jesus rose from the dead. The stone rolled away. No one knows that but me, that spring is here. That's a big thing to me. Maybe, I'm sure everyone got it, but the idea that no one knows that's Good Friday, that Jesus up and walking around. But most of all, you're looking your best because you've got your new suit. Say, guys, did you get suits on Easter? Now, not everyone celebrates Easter, I know that. But, okay, just thought so. Okay, this is part of the Cain trilogy. Father to Son, A Closer Walk, Martin Luther King Jr. Take a closer walk with thee. He is a dream with so little time. Take that closer walk with thee. Mm. Now it's a combination, you know, kind of like a hymn, but more than anything else, it's Father to Son, Martin to Martin, and so forth. Amanda,
yeah.
Am I taking too much time here? Are people sticking to their seats?
I think you're doing fine. I think you have as much time as you want, or as little as you want.
Okay, let me see. What I like to do is for the young folk, is make them sit here. Then they'll start getting mean. Okay, the song is you. I'm sure we all remember the song is you. Uh-huh. I've been ready for the song. Okay, see, I love that stuff.
We don't remember that. Could you sing that one?
Sing all of you bars.
I could try, but I would need a lot more than that glass of wine. Yeah. Well, the next go, why can't I let you know this? Why can't I let you know? The song my heart would sing. But anyway, see, it's very romantic.
I don't remember the whole song.
Yeah, yeah.
You say it?
Hmm? Oh, no. In the shower, I would. But anyway, the song is you. The blues on the radio tonight is Bessie and her hard times knocking. God's nothing child with her pig foot and his shot glass. Life that is a woman suffering, like the Bible tells us so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just turn you around a little bit. Okay.
So were you raised as a Christian so that you have a lot of those references in your...
Presbyterian, what kind of Christian? But, you go in to check out your shoes and the suit you got on.
Well, Presbyterians are good for that.
Yeah. I mean, that was a Christian church I went to.
Yeah.
You go in there and people pay attention to see if your legs are greased, you know. The references is because it's part of culture. And in other poems I write, I also will quote and make religious references too. Okay, the answer to that. The Jodes are gathered here. Now you have two things here. You have It's out of Dorothea Lange, yay, Dorothea Lange, photographer. Oh, you have Walker Evans. Yeah, Walker Evans. As Amanda says, I give the women their due. There's this wonderful photograph of a hat on a grape. And there's also this great film by John Ford, Turner Classic Movies, called The Grapes of Wrath.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
And, well, this is based on that. We are gathered here in the dust today to remember Pa Jode. He was an old man who just wanted his piece of land, his sharecropping ground, and we leave him here with his hat on his grave to mark his passing and take with us his name to a new place to grow and be us again, like the family, still hungry and traveling on. But Lord, today the darkness deepens. Lord, with us abide. Now, in the book, there are a series of poems. In fact, the books, the poems are going to be, as all are, including these things, in chronological history. I mean, in chronological order. And you go back and forth between black and white experience in the South and in the North. And there'll be pieces similar to this about black families. Okay, I'm going to do two more, and then you can go to the wine. Now, I know people in the row are good for the wine. The rest of you, I can see, are Christians.
Sam, do you remember what you did when Amanda told you that you were going to get married? You left class. So this is after I graduated, and Amanda was still in class. You left class.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't 21 yet, but you left class, went and got a bottle of champagne, mm-hmm. brought it back in, left it by her bag mm-hmm. while a video was going. The class was watching. That was your gift to us. So, in honor of that, we should toast later on.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
It's a great story.
Yeah. I'm a good person. Okay, this is called Someday. And for those of you who remember the Railroad Hour, and you had, you know, the operettas. And there was a song, again, called Someday. It's a Gensler song. Someday you'll seek me and find me. Someday you'll find the man with the heart of a king. Something like that. Glorious stuff. If you were ugly then, you couldn't dance. If you had holes in your pants. Your shoes were worn out. You do something like Someday, and suddenly you are a dreamboat.
Yeah.
Now, you probably want to know what a dreamboat is, huh? I'm not telling you. Okay. Oh, now, this takes place just before Jackie Robinson became part of the Dodgers. Was it the Dodgers? Mm-hmm. Okay. Someday, we'll smoke 5-cent cigars and drink National Bow and Gunther's beer. Watching the home team, ball players sliding home. In the parking lots, like Negro ball players, we are hoarse shouting, guys in coats and jackets, with skinned knees, trying for second and third place. Hitting the asphalt, hard coming home after school to the empty lots, near the rusting cars, Negro boys in a ballpark with clubs instead of bats. Sometimes not even a ball. Let's pretend we're playing the game. Telling stories as you ran. Faster, hitting low to the ground to avoid being tagged. Running like the wind, the air pushing inside your chest. Bursting from your mouth. Playing ball, being a boy, strike out, going to be Jackie Robinson, going to be a Yankee, someday Jackie Robinson. Mm. Now again, you know, the contrast with the romantic lyrics from what some would now call silly songs, is the, you know, it's the ironic contrast with the period and the things you felt. No one says it like Tchaikovsky. Okay, one more and let's hit the table. Uh-oh. These won't be too bad for you. The night for little ones. Before dusk, hand in hand, the witches come and skeletons dance, their bones snap. This is the hour of the empty midnight bus. Winter is coming, the sun quickly goes. Ah, come on, dear. See, if I was doing the other series, this wouldn't have happened. Okay. Before dusk, hand in hand, the witches come, and skeletons dance, and their bones snap. This is the hour of the empty midnight bus. Winter is coming. The sun quickly goes. This is the night for little ones. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Thank you for the encore. I'm going to do a little politics here. I'm a great Hillary person. I'm sorry for those who love, what's his name? And I'll be glad to tell you why over a glass of beer. Anyway, how about you? Hillary's drowning a mug of beer in a red state. This is America. Busting balls, a blue collar woman ain't baking cookies. Hillary is downing the hatch and bottoms up. The shot is Jim Beam. The beer is Bud. Hillary's got a pair. How about you?
Can we get copies of
him? Can we get copies?
Got a zero, actually, Shane.
That's great.
Well, thank you, folks, for being here and sitting with me on this warm night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.